amazing is that when he gives you a new gift and you don't know exactly how to negotiate or operate in or exercise it or even how to relate to that gift, that's when Holy Spirit, and you go, Holy Spirit, teach me how to live prophetically, which is what I asked him a few days ago after he gave me the gift. And now he's teaching me, and it's very uncomfortable because it's unknown. But he's just even now showing me that he's giving me an analogy. Okay, he'll teach, you know how he teaches. He teaches in any way that's going to work for us, doesn't he? It's all individual. So he now he's giving me a fairy tale, an analogy of a fairy tale. That there's, when you're involved in ministry and people are going to be involved with you, there is going to be certain dynamics happening. And if it's true that the anointing of prophecy actually stirs up both good and bad in people, that's going to happen over and over. It's not a one-off situation. It's continual. Especially if you're living prophetically, that means wherever you go, that will be stirred up. And because as Christians, we want everyone to receive him, and we want everyone who is proclaims to be a Christian to really be a Christian, and we want them, if they're off the trail or they're gotten snared by the devil, we want them to come out, okay? But not everybody's going to do that, and some will stand against us that want what God's will is, and that's the hardest thing to accept. Because we just want it all to be nice. We want the fairy tale always to end with a happy ending. And it will end with a happy ending for those that are in Christ. But those that are go against him, it will not be happy. Because in the fairy tales, the wicked one always loses, don't they? And he said to me today, he gave me several words about, situations that I'm dealing with. And one of them was that there will only be one standing. Isn't that a good word? Which means there's a battle, isn't there? You're gonna have a battle if there's only gonna be one standing. There's gonna be a fight, and then only one is standing. And then he promised me a new day. He said, "There's a new day coming, I promise you." I thought, okay, well, that's a really good word. And then he gave me this analogy of a fairy tale, Snow White. So the enemy always comes after the pure of heart, doesn't he? Whether it's in the form of a human being who's attached to somebody in ministry, whether it's in the form of someone in a workplace situation, whether it's in a marriage, whatever. The enemy will use people to get to the pure of heart, to try to defile that purity. And I was reading it today, I think it was in Corinthians, and this one always gets misread. And I'm just going to get it, so hang on. I want to find that scripture because it was brilliant. The body, and it often gets used as a legalistic hammering to individual Christians, but that's not what it's talking about at all. It says, "Do you not know," in 1 Corinthians, sorry, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So that's usually taken as, oh, if you did something, you were smoking and stuff, God's going to destroy it. No. Doesn't mean that, does it? It means, why would God destroy the temple? You're the temple. He's not destroying the temple. He will destroy the one who tries to defile it. Isn't that amazing? That is such a guarantee to us. That's incredible to me. It's like one who's going to come to destroy my temple, which you are, I will destroy him. That's like the father looking out for his children. He just showed me that. It flipped it. He flipped it with the way it's really written, not the way I was taught. Which is, you better be good to that temple or you're in trouble. If you're doing this, horrible thing and this activity and that activity. That's not what he's saying at all. He's not going to destroy the temple. He's going to destroy the person who tries to defile the temple. So what I'm learning now in situations that I'm confronting, is that rather than being afraid of those that want to come against the church in terms of, you know, the body of Christ or individuals even, God says, no, I will destroy them. So if we are walking in the prophetic and are, living prophetically, as he said to me, that's the gift I'm giving you. If we are doing that, then rather than being afraid, this is what he's trying to say. Don't be afraid of it. I'll be the one that destroys those that try to defile the body of Christ, whether it's an individual or a corporate. I destroy that if they try to defile. So those that come against the pure of heart, because the pure of heart are the greatest prize to the devil. If you're a Christian who kind of half-heartedly follows God, well, you know, you're not much of a threat, number one. I mean, God still loves you. You're still you're still one with him. But you're not, you know, you're not a powerhouse that's going to change the face of the earth. So it's like, you know, he'll still hassle you because that's just his job. He can't help himself. But it's not the same as someone who actually is actively seeking God every day, wanting to follow him, asking for more of his infilling, asking to pursue everything that he's laid down for his life, asking to walk in those ordered steps. That's a dangerous person to the enemy. That heart is pure. And he wants it. It's a prize.
Yes.
So he will send in troops, and they can be look like Christians, to go and defile that person and get them even aligned with them and get them, to work in partnership and all kinds of things. Because the person, you know, they're not going to show themselves.
Yeah, I've seen him do it. He tried to do it with me, but.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and that's what I believe if someone's going to walk prophetically, that there are, why would God give a gift like that? There's a reason, isn't it? It's not so you can see into the future and be a clairvoyant. You walk prophetically because there's things in the body that are out of order. There's people that are getting damaged and hurt, and someone needs to be that voice. Yeah. And someone needs to stand against it, and someone needs to stop it. And this is where it gets very uncomfortable, and this is where I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need your comfort because I don't know how to do that. I know how to intercede in the closet. I know, and I pray for healing.
It's all done for the strengthening of the church.
That's right. That's right. You know, I know how to pray for healing. I know how to release the spirit of the living God for miracles and all that. But how do you, when this is a completely different position, and it's unknown at this point, but I know that it's an honor, and I know that he'll equip me because he doesn't call you without equipping you. And what he's going to teach to any of us that he gives that gift of, not just the gift of prophecy, but living prophetically, which I'm still looking at, what do you mean, Lord, daily, prophetically. He's telling me that he is going to show me the good and the bad. Now, I only wanted to see the good, to be really honest. I love when prophecy pours out of my mouth over people. I mean, it's just so exciting, and you're seeing, you know it's the truth in their hearts that he birthed them for, their very purpose. It's such a wonderful, everyone's lifted up. There's nothing bad in it. But when you have to, when he says, no, now you're going to live prophetically, which means I'm going to show you all. He told me the other day, I said, what do you mean by that? That is such a weird word and a gift. I don't understand. He said, living prophetically means being one with me in how you see, in how you see. I mean, we are one by virtue of Jesus Christ with God. But this is how you see. Because the prophecy is seeing, isn't it? You're seeing ahead.
Yes.
You're seeing what's to come. It's always forward. It's always forward. It's not something where you're looking back. You're always going forward, the next place, the next step. Before other people are there, you're seeing it. And that's why sometimes, you know, prophets get laughed at because everybody goes, oh, that's never going to happen. Or what are you talking about? You're mad. You know, there's a lot of people who are prophetic often get called crazy because they're speaking about something that isn't there yet, but they have seen it and the Spirit of God has told them. And so they know it is the truth. and it just hasn't arrived in the natural yet. So it's like, on one level, it's an incredible burden, you know, that kind of gift. You look at the prophets in the Old Testament, and everybody says, oh, don't look at them anymore because it's a new covenant. Absolutely, it is a new covenant. There's no question. But there still is the gift of prophecy. You know, it's one of the nine gifts. It's not like he cut it off. We still have it as something that he can give to us. And then to tell me, you know, I give you the gift of living prophetically, which is to see as he sees, which means, now God doesn't not know where evil is, does he? He knows exactly where it's hiding.
Wow.
And he's showing me. And I'm going, I don't want to look. Can we just turn the channel? Because I don't like this channel. This isn't the pretty channel. You know? And he's going, no, I'm not changing it. And I'm like, oh, man. Okay, if you're not going to change the channel, obviously you're going to have to teach me how to deal with this. And he's going, yeah, now that's a good option. So I'm like, okay, well, teach me how to do it. And then he showed me today, do not be afraid of them. You remember how Elijah ran from Jezebel? After all this power came down from heaven by his word and burns up everything, including killing all those 400 and whatever prophets of Baal, and then he runs, you know, because she says, I'm going to kill you. I mean, what power does she have if God just burned up the whole altar, all the water, and killed all the prophets all at once by Elijah's word? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, do you actually think that you're limited in this? Do you think I'm going to send you in there to a place where they're actually going to destroy you? No, no, no. And then he gave me that scripture, that 1 Corinthians 3:17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So those that come against us, if we are in the prophetic, or in any, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't have to be just in the prophetic. It can be in any capacity. It's God's job to take over and destroy it. And that's what he's showing me too. There will only be one standing. So who's going to be the one who's standing? Is it going to be God or the devil? We know it's God.
God.
Yeah, it's God. And who are we in? We are in Christ Jesus. So we are one with God. So who's standing? Oh, I'm standing. I'm the one left standing. And when we have that promise,
we have overcome the devil.
That's right. By the word of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's right. And what he's showing me, Holy Ghost is showing me now as he's walking me through this very uncomfortable phase, is that I'm the comforter. So just ask, I'm like, Holy Spirit, comfort me in this. But it's not even, he's already doing that. He's saying, now I want you to look at it like this, like it's a fairy tale. Because fairy tales aren't really scary, are they? I mean, they can be to a little child because they've got some mean, ugly witches and whatever. But fairy tales to an adult doesn't scare us, does it? It's just a story. So he's saying, I want you to look at this like a story. I want you to see these situations like a story, and you know the ending. So whatever part we play, say in particular in the prophetic, whatever part we play, we don't have to be afraid of those that come against us. If anything, be afraid for them, because you do not want to come against the power of the living God. I mean, it's about as stupid an idea as there ever was. I mean, it's insane, isn't it? You're going to come against the will and power of the living God. Are you okay? You really need to have a lobotomy because the front part of your brain just isn't working. Who are you kidding? And that's what he's trying to share with me and you and others, is that stop being afraid of people or even the devil.
You're totally ministering to me right now.
I know. It's what he wants to do. And he has so much to share about this, and I'm just learning it. And this is why I love Holy Ghost so much, because it's fresh off the press. You know, I never know what he's going to teach me. And if I was just going to use the word itself and only the word alone and then go, okay, well, that was enough, that he told you everything in the word and that's all there is, and not seek the wisdom of Holy Ghost, who's the abiding spirit in me and yeah. teaches me concerning all things. Well, all things is prophetic. How do I live prophetic? Okay, you gave me a gift of living prophetically, Holy Ghost. Now, how do I do it? Because I don't even know what it means. I don't even know what it means yet. But he's teaching me moment by moment, day by day. Okay, now instead of looking at things as, you know, the big bad wolf and he's got all the power and he's going to blow your house down, I want you to look at the fairy tale. What happens in a fairy tale? And he's breaking it down for me. Okay, you've got Snow White, who is the purity, and that would be a believer, you know, who loves God truly, not just professing it because it sounds nice. Then we've got, you know, the wicked witch or whatever, the evil, you know, stepmother, whatever she was, who wanted to destroy her because she was jealous of the purity and the beauty. Then you've got, you know, the seven dwarves are like people in someone's life who are helpers, who actually are real friends, and they do the best they can, but they, you know, they can't save the person. And then you've got the prince, who always comes to the rescue. And who's our prince? Prince of Peace. Who's that? Jesus.
Amen.
You know, he's the one who's going to save us. And he's already saved us in terms of our union with God, but in terms of the situations we're going to come against. Yes. Because I believe, Lizzie, just like you have a gift for teaching, I believe this is going to open too. Okay?
Yeah.
There's no accidents.
When I started, I got prophetic words.
Yeah.
Words that I have no idea what
yeah.
to do with them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's how it starts. Usually, I mean, I'm not saying with every person. That's been my experience as well. It started with prophetic words. And, you know, they'd come here and there, wherever he gave them to me for particular situations or people. Then it became actual prophecies where it would just pour into the person. It was their, you know, it was yeah. their whole life meaning, why you were made. I mean, you know, how am I going to know that? You know them for 2 minutes. And you never even met them in person. You know, they're online or on a phone call or whatever. And then he would just pour that out. And now it's become, now he said, okay, now I've given you the gift of living prophetically, which means you are going to see the way I see. So when you come into a situation, you're going to actually look at it. You're going to know who the bad guy is, who the good guy is, and what's going on behind the scenes. And I really, to be honest with you, you know, am not comfortable with that, but I have the comforter. And he's going to show me how to walk in this, you know, in a way that isn't overburdening me, because it's been a real burden. I haven't liked it at all. I haven't known yeah. how to deal with it. I'm used to being able to get a quick result for people, even if it's soul damage. You know, he does it. He works on it so quickly, it blows my mind. So Holy Ghost goes in, he deals with the damage, heals them up, holy surgeon, they don't know they've even been hurt anymore, it's all done. And then they get their physical healing on top of it. So hallelujah, wonderful. You know, I'm not saying every time, but that certainly is a pattern of his ministry through me. Now he's saying, no, now I'm giving you, it's like the court intrigue, you know, the palace court. You know, there's always was intrigue in the palace court, and you've got this one over here scheming with, you know, with the other ones over here against the king and all of that. It feels like that. That's what he's showing me into places. And this is in ministries and I suppose churches or whatever, that what's really going on behind the scenes. And then when he shows us that, like I used to be, you know, always interceding. That was something I did for years. Intercession just was like, you know, I just did it for hours and hours and hours. And I loved it. I came to love it. Well, I didn't love it initially, but I came to really love it. And then I learned about healing. And then I got so, you know, enamored with healing that I kind of let that go. And I believe he's saying, you're going to need to be interceding again, because if you're walking in the prophetic, there's going to be things you're going to see, and you're going to need to deal with it through prayer.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it you're not going to confront. A lot of it you're not going to go up to the person and say, I can see what's going on with you, blah, 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 blah. You know, number one, they're going to deny it. Sometimes they're not even conscious of it. And also the enemy is going to really attack you then. You know, so yeah. So it's pointless. Why is the serpent gentle as a dove? So unless he tells us to confront a particular situation, we do not. You know, and I've learned that, you know, because sometimes I've confronted it thinking I'm doing the right thing. Oh, let's be honest. Let's talk the truth here and settle this. And the person is not willing or ready, or and may never be, because they want things their own way. And they don't care if that means going against God, they will. Which is the saddest thing on the planet. A Christian, at least professing Christian, going against God's will. For their own lives, let alone other people's. But it's everywhere. It's rife in the body. I mean, look at the state of the body. It's pretty obvious there's a lot of, my will, not yours, Lord. In the entire body of Christ. And that's not just in the fivefold ministry. That's individuals too, you know. And, but the fivefold ministry definitely is, yeah, it's got a lot of, sickness and disease in it, physically as well as spiritually. So he's showing me all of that, and it doesn't make me a big shot. I think if we approach,
it's amazing how gracious God is going on, and they're still redeeming the gift.
Exactly, that he would go, but no, I want to give this to you.
Just to see how some people are so damaged and hurt, but they're still not having much power. I'm like.
Mm. Well, I would say that isn't so much his power. I'd say that's on their own backs and the enemy. You know, really. Because if you're using that power for your self gain, it's not his. You know, it's a twisting and perversion. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to pervert every gift that God gives us, okay? So he'll either pervert it by trying to make you afraid of the gift, so you don't even touch it. And you're like, no, this is too big for me. I don't want to do it. Or once you're in the gift, he'll try to pander to your pride, the lust of the flesh. And if he can't get you that way, he'll try to discredit you and make you look like an idiot, so no one will listen anyway. So there goes your power in terms of furthering the kingdom. And then if he can't do that, well, he tears his hair out, you know, which is the point one I love the most.
Yeah.
You know, go tear your hair out in the corner. Because, you know, I really don't have time for you. There's too many people suffering. Some of them don't even know they're deceived. Some do.
Yeah.
This is where the discernment is. And he's also shown me this, that with the gift of prophecy and living, then the next level, living prophetically, and then the next, the one thing we have to absolutely have is discernment. Because you'll go mad otherwise. Because you don't know who's coming, who's going, you know, it'd be like, in politics, you know how corrupt, everybody knows politics are very corrupt and people want power and they want their own way and their own agendas, and they'll pretend that they don't and they'll deceive and, you know, all kinds of things. So it's like that. It's like politics. If you don't have discernment, you are going to get eaten alive.
Yeah.
So discernment is, you know, we have to ask him, Lord, just infuse me with the, you know, discernment. Nobody goes like, that's a great gift. Everybody wants prophecy or they want healing or miracles, but you know, discernment. Oh, that's nice. No, it's essential. In fact, it's essential for every one of the gifts. Because if you don't have discernment, how are you going to know about healing? And what is it that needs to be healed? It doesn't matter what the person says. Just because they say they have liver cancer, but you don't have discernment, and you're actually seeing there is so much pain in that person because they were, you know, horribly damaged by their father or something, and they can't receive anything from God. If you don't know that, they aren't getting healed. Certainly not on their own, because if they were in a place where they could receive their own healing, they would have. That's why they're coming to you. So discernment is absolutely essential. And he's telling me that, like, don't look down on discernment, the gift of discernment, because without it, prophecy is going to be a joke. It'll be like a circus because you won't know what's going on. So if he gives us information, this is the hardest part, Lindsay. If he gives us information about situations and he says, this is what's really going on, the next step always is to say, Holy Ghost, how do I deal with it now? Because where we usually stop is we go, oh, this is so uncomfortable. I'm sick in my stomach. I can't stand it. I don't want to deal with it. Or we try to figure it out ourselves. Okay, that's a mean person, and I'm going to pray against them, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And he may not be telling you to do that. So we need to ask and say, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do next? And because he teaches us concerning all things, he'll tell us. You know, or help me with this, you're my helper, help me with this situation because it seems overwhelming to me. But he keeps showing me over and over, he's almost laughing, I can feel it now. It's like, Jesse, I told you, fairy tale, it's a fairy tale, that's how you look at this. You do not look at this like this big, horrible situation that you have to overcome on your own, one-man band with your little spear. You know, that's not what he's doing. He said there'll only be one standing. If there's only one standing, I look at David and Goliath. You know, if there's only one standing, well, it's always only God. And we're in God through Christ Jesus, so we're standing. And it's really simple, but we tend to complicate it because the emotions. So what happens is when you start having living prophetically, this is what he's teaching me now. When you start living that way, there's a lot of emotional stuff you pick up from people that may be either attacking you personally, you know, because of...
That happens in healings, too.
It does happen in healings, too. But this is more intense. I'm telling you right now, Lizzie, this is 1,000 times more intense than what I've ever picked up when I've done healing. This is like dealing with the strong man, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? And you've got to bind the strong man in Jesus' name. That's what you have to do in order to get... in order to plunder his goods, because basically he's stolen people. And if we don't stand for them and bind him, those people will stay stolen. Someone's got to stand for them. And sometimes it's going to mean we're going to have to be verbal. I know what he's showing me what's coming, and I don't like it. And that's why I have a comforter, because some people are going to be really angry about this. And they're not going to want to be shown up, because basically when God gives you the ability to see as he sees it all. You know, he doesn't just see, oh, the nice little lambies that come to him in the field and, oh, come on. Help you. You know, he doesn't just see that. He sees
like
the wolf.
My pastor in my home group has some stories of people would come to their home group and like be exposed by the Holy Spirit. Like people would get prophetic words about them, about like things that they were doing wrong. And so people would stop going to their home group because they were being exposed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm.
Because he knows everything.
That's right. That's right. And we have to be wise how we do that. We have to make sure it's in God's timing and it's the way he wants it done. Because if we jump the gun and overstep the mark and you know, go at our own pace when he hasn't given us those instructions, we can actually hinder his plan. And I definitely don't want to do that. And because the emotional, I'm trying to tell you this because he's just teaching me this right now. Because of the emotional impact that is going on around in the body of Christ by a lot of false teachings, a lot of tares planted with the wheat, it's a very heavy situation. I mean, wickedness isn't a joke, and it didn't fall away in the Old Testament. You know, it's alive and well, unfortunately, and we have to be discerning about it, but we also have to know, how do I handle the emotional impact of it? Because it's a very heavy thing. And so this is where going to Holy Spirit and saying, all right, Holy Spirit, this is really oppressive. I can't even see straight right now. I don't know how to deal with the situation, but I know that you do. And I am going to ask you to show me. And then you're going to show me. But I do know this. He was showing me that scripture the other day in my mind. He didn't put me into the Bible, but he just told me. You know when Paul asked the three times for that thorn in the flesh, basically whatever persecuting spirit it was or whatever people that were attacking him, to be taken from him? And God said, no. You're like, well, you're not supposed to ever say no to me. That's what we think. Anyway, God said no, and my grace is sufficient. You know, in your weakness, my power is made perfect. And he showed me that yesterday. It was like, My grace is sufficient. I am not, because I've asked this oppression of heaviness behind my eyes, which I only get when people have depression, is so incredibly intense and heavy, it's almost been debilitating. And it's associated with a particular person. And even when I think on that person, it comes. It's that heavy. Now, I first thought it was just an attack. Like, you know, they're sending curses, or they're, you know, they're hateful, or they're making up stories or whatever. I don't know. Those kinds of thoughts. That's what I was thinking. But he's showing me now that this person is completely oppressed. And lost. Although professing to be a Christian and saying all the right Christianese that one does to convince themselves and others, they're miserable and lost in their hearts. And that's why they'll react to other people that are wanting to further the kingdom, but it may not be their agenda and their picture. And they feel they're going to lose because they don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. It's going to say, are you kidding? You think I don't have a great plan for you? Even if it changes from what you thought it was, don't you think my plan is better? And they don't have that comforter to go to and say, oh, wow, you know, I don't like this. There's changes in my plans. And, oh, I thought you wanted this for me, and this is making me sad. They don't have him to go to because they don't know he's real. They know the name, and they know all the names of God, and they do the I'm obedient to God, and I do the right things, and I'm, you know, I'm doing the good work. That's what they know. But they don't know him. So they're orphans inside. Because without Holy Spirit, you act as an orphan, because he is our link, living in us, the living God. And if he's shut out, how are you going to feel connected with God? So he's just, so rather than being upset with the person, this is where it's hard with prophecy, with, you know, living prophetically. Being upset with them isn't going to help. You or them. This is where the maturity part comes in. And, you know, it's not always easy when you feel attacked by somebody. This is where you go to him and you have to ask him and say, okay, Lord, I don't know whether I'm being attacked or whether it's just the oppression of the person, and you're giving me that's that bad for them, and you want me to break it for them, you know, because they can't for themselves. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do that. If it's that you're actually showing me something evil is afoot and I need to somehow bind that and stand against it, okay, I'll do that. You just tell me. And that's the hardest part, is just going, okay, I haven't got an answer right now. I actually don't know yet. But he will show me. What the hardest part, Lizzie, is overcoming the discomfort in this new place. That's the biggest part.
Yeah.
Once we cross the line, do you know what? It's going to be so much easier. But while we're almost like before he's given me the gift. He's giving you a gift. It's uncomfortable. It's unknown. You don't know what you're supposed to really do. It's not nice and squeezy and cuddly like it was before. Oh dear, this is harder stuff. I'm on a higher part of the mountain. I don't like it. It's hard to walk this way, and the ground is loose. And well, once we decide that we're going to go on this path with him, it's going to get a lot easier, because our own resistance is fighting us. And it's for me too. It's for me as well. And all Christians around the world would go through this. As soon as God is placing us at another level or taking us to a new step, resistance comes up. Now, you've got the resistance of the enemy, who doesn't want you to go anywhere. He just wants you to die. You know, curl up and die. You know, get it over with and stop hassling me. So you've got his resistance. Then you've got your own resistance of your own soul that says, I don't like this. This isn't fun anymore. I just want ice creams and strawberries with my daddy, and I want to sit on his lap all day. You know, you've got that. And then you've got people who may or may not be truly genuine Christians who can come against what God's doing in you because it threatens what they're doing. Whether it's that they're going to be exposed, which usually is a huge part of it, or whether it's just it's such a big change of plan, you're going to interfere with maybe what they're doing because you're going to be involved or whatever. And so then they've therefore come against you and want you removed somehow. And this is where the discernment part comes in, where you got to look and go, okay, Lord, am I just being flat out attacked? And is that why I'm feeling so heavy and oppressed? Or or is this person just so desperately in need of ministry, and you called me to minister? You know? I mean, is it that simple? And when someone attacks you, you don't want to minister to them. Your first reaction is, tough luck. Do it yourself. You know, I mean, I know it sounds horrible. We're not supposed to be like that, because it is Christ who lives in me, not me anymore. And there's still some elements, you know, as he says, you know, we're perfected forever through the one offering. Those who are being sanctified. And who are we sanctified by? Holy Ghost. So, Holy Ghost shows me, oh, Jesse, you don't want to help that person because why? Because they, oh, because you know they're saying horrible things and they've maligned you and they're coming against you and they may even be praying against you. They may be doing even that. But you don't want to minister to them. Did I say that you, that's what I want you to do? Did I say that, you know, you get a choice? Okay, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you get to minister to this one, but not that one? Don't you think there's a reason that they're brought into your life? You know, and you're going, yeah, okay. You know, that's, you really don't want to do it. And that's that resistance part too. So the resistance to the actual gift, there's that. And then once you actually cross over the line and you enter in to that place and say, yes, Lord, I accept the gift. Now, I've said it with my mouth that I accepted these gifts that he's given me recently. Now I have to walk it. And this particular one of living prophetically is actually walking all the time in the prophetic, which I still don't understand yet, but that's why I have Holy Spirit to teach me. But I do know this, that it is a glorious gift, and I do not want to renounce it or reject it. Because it's the next step he's prepared for me, and he orders my steps, and the steps are always good, because he only gives good gifts. So that's how we have to look at it. It's like, okay, I've got resistance. I'm a bit afraid. I don't understand. It's a new beginning, but everything that you give, Lord, is good. So I'm just going to trust you on this, but you're going to have to teach me, you know, how to walk in this, because I have no clue. It's a completely new path. And although you've prepared me in many ways from before, to walk this, it's bigger than the other ones. The other ones I fell into. It was like I just fell into them, you know? Okay, healing, I took the initiative and prayed for people and all that, but healing just kind of just happened. And then words of knowledge just started coming. And then prophetic words started coming. And then, I mean, I asked him for all these things. I have to say, I did ask him. I didn't just go, okay, whatever you want, Lord. I asked him specifically for these gifts. And then prophecy came. And now this one I never asked for. You know, this is a bonus. I'm like, I don't like this bonus. I don't want it. I feel like that. I feel like a 3-year-old, you know, with my lollipop stuck to my hair because I got so upset after licking it when he told me what he's giving me. You know, I don't like this. Rather than going, okay, all right, Lord, just remove the resistance in Jesus' name from both Lizzie and I. We want to walk properly. We want to walk in fulfillment of the gift that you've given us, of this new phase that you've placed upon us. You've bestowed it upon us, Lord, like a crown. We should not reject the crown of God that you've given us, that crown of life that you want us to walk in. So, Lord, we receive it gladly. Any trepidation, any fear, any timidity, any worry we have about it, Lord, we give it over to you. We cast those cares upon you, for you care for us, in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, the Comforter, I pray that you'd comfort both Lizzie and I in this new place, in this new level, for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Teach us, Lord. Teach us what it seems to be unteachable right now, so that when we look back, we will see that you taught us so well. And we will laugh with you at how fearful we were. We will laugh with you at how fearful we were. In Jesus' name. And like you said, Lord, it's just a fairy tale. We look at it in a way, it's a little story in a book. That's what we're dealing with. And it really is only that small. Because who has defeated the enemy of our souls? Through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Have us remember what you've accomplished by the cross. And live out our lives through that truth and no other.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.